We've been studying the book of John. We talked last week. Last week was a different message, wasn't it? Sunday morning, as we dealt with the cities of refuge and dealt with the justice system that God has for us and that had for them as the children of Israel, and yet as we see the blessings of our own justice system. Today, we would naturally come to Joshua 21, but we're taking a parenthesis break. Joshua 20, dealing with the cities of refuge, the justice system. Joshua 21, dealing with the blessings of the religious leaders, the leaders and their family, and the blessings that God had in store for them. But as we think about all that has gone on, as we think about the cities of refuge, as we think about coming into then the religious leaders, actually it'll be interesting as we see this, their inheritance, the cities that they were given, were scattered amongst the people, part of the people, worship leaders, where they were in their area. One of the desires of their heart then is to constantly keep the people focused on who? God. And their faith in God. As they go through the everyday times of life. It wasn't every day that they had to go to the temple, but there were certain times they needed to go to the temple. And we'll talk through some of those things next week. But today I wanted us to go back to Genesis chapter 6. And I want us to see that in the midst of life, as they were settling into this land, but here in Genesis, in the midst of life going on, that we can trust God and obey. In the midst of life today, yes, we trust God and obey, but we prepare for future generations. We prepare so that God can work in our lives, through our lives, but in our children's lives and through their lives as we continue on in life. Before we get into Genesis chapter 6, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you would today to realize and to see our need to trust you and obey even when we don't understand, even when life seems too difficult to go on. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter 6, we see the mercy of God in the midst of a wicked and a perverse nation, or people, or world. And we see that today. Genesis chapter 6, before the children of Israel, we see Noah and how God worked through him and his offspring. And his desire then to the godly heritage, even as he was told to bring his family with him. As we look at the children of Israel and study their lives, we could go all the way into the book of Judges, which follows Joshua, and the time period after Joshua died. In fact, let's turn there really quick. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. Stay in Genesis if you've got a marker or something. We'll be predominantly in Genesis this morning. But as we see the book of Judges, and we see Joshua, he's already passed out the land, if you will. They've distributed it. They've separated it out. People have their land. There's responsibilities to continue on, to conquer the land, the blessings that God gives, to take it all. But in Judges chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, we see the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun and the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres. And we looked at that a couple weeks ago in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also at the generation that were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. It's not just that they forgot God, or they didn't let God be their priority. They served another god, a false deity. They took the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, of the gods of them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth.
As the children of Israel went through and they lived while they had their godly leaders, they didn't pass it on to the next generation. The faith as they trusted God to conquer the land, the faith as they trusted God when they distributed and went into their land, didn't get passed on to their children, that next generation. And as you and I learn to trust and obey God, it's not simply good enough for you and I to do, but for us to pass on to our next generation. Yes, our own personal offspring, our children, maybe yours are already moved out of the house, but opportunities that you have to invest into them. But then the next generation is a church family. As we think about the reality that we have with BLC and with our Sunday school classes and with the other children's ministries that we have to participate in, even our nursery, what a great opportunity. The nursery is not just so that people can watch the kids. It's, again, helping pass on to that next generation and helping the parents even being able to focus and gather. I will stand right here, Rocky. We can just use the pulpit mic. That'll be fine. And as we think about life and the faith of our life, that we would trust God, but we would pass that on. Genesis chapter 6, we see a wicked and perverse world. They did, basically like the book of Judges, that which was right in their what? Their own eyes. They saw life and did what pleased themselves and did what was fun for a season. Hebrews reminds us that sin is pleasurable even if it's only for a season. Hebrews 11, though, we see by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We know that the just shall live by faith. In fact, we see that phrase, I believe it's four different times in the Bible. The just shall live by faith. And that was good for Noah, but it was good for the next generation. It was good for Joshua, but it was good for the next generation. And it's good for us, and it's good for our next generation. And as we look at life, I must obey God in faith, even when I don't understand, because others are watching as well. Life isn't always easy. It's not always understandable. But God is always faithful. And we saw in the midst of this world that was full of wickedness and violence, as we read earlier, 1 through 12 of Genesis 6. But then we come down to verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my, what? Covenant. God is a relational God. Not some, as some have viewed God, as the great watchmaker in the sky who set it in motion and just lets it do whatever happens. But God is a relational God. Verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Wasn't just good enough for his children, but for his children's spouses. And it was to be passed on to their kids. Verse 19, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. God was not destroying the earth so that he'd have to create another one. He was preserving life in his mercy and all of the wickedness that had gone on. Of fowls, verse 20, after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten. Again, he wasn't miraculously providing food for them. about that. The children of Israel, as they wandered in the wilderness, did God often miraculously, provide food for them? Could he have done that for Noah on the ark? Yes, he could have. But he told Noah to prepare. Specific commands. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to how much? That God commanded him. And look at that last phrase. We already see, it already says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. But that last phrase, just a reiteration, how true it is. So did he. That's what he did. It was about his kids too. It was about his obedience before God in the midst of a time he didn't understand. Noah didn't understand what this worldwide flood meant. As he was preparing the ship, for what? As he was preparing, and as these animals being brought to the ark, as the food being prepared, this is an unknown time and an unknown situation. But he learned that he needed to trust God and obey. Did Joshua and the children of Israel that were in his generation trust God and obey? They did, right? I mean, they trusted God as they went into the promised land. Did their parents' generation trust God and obey? To a degree, but what didn't they have? They didn't have faith that God could do it. They obeyed as they wandered. They followed, and then they learned, okay, so we can't take more manna than enough for one day because it'll rot for the next day and all sorts of these other things. So we see one generation that didn't trust God and obey, the next generation that learned to trust God and obey. But what happened to the generation after them? Once again, that generation failed to trust God and obey. And as we look at life, as we look at your Rural Baptist Church, our faith is not good enough for just me, for just us, but for the next generation. You may be in one of the older generation groups that's here in our church family. Praise God for you. You may come in a little bit younger than that and we've got all the way down. Gabby, I think, is probably, we've got Gabby and Xander is the youngest in the auditorium right now. And man, we praise God for all ages in between. But as we see, our faith and trust in God must be passed on to that next generation. As they prepare these cities of refuge, as they had the goal of putting the Levites amongst the people, spreading out their cities amongst the people, why? So the faith would be passed on to the next generation, so that they as well would worship God. But they didn't see the works of God, as we read in Judges. Noah and his family were reminded that God had a promise of coming judgment. And we see that today as well. There is coming judgment. What was the coming judgment that Noah and the world were about to experience? Life-altering judgment. In fact, we're reminded in verse number 13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, God didn't utterly destroy the earth. We know that someday there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But here, he destroyed life, as was known. Now, not all of it, because Noah and his family were still alive, in God's mercy. But God's promised judgment was coming. And we saw earlier 120 years. We saw that number as we were reading. And 100, that's a long time. Some of you may say, well, that's less than what others of you would say. 120 years is a long time. And yet God's promised judgment was coming. And in the midst of God saying judgment was coming, God did not say, on this date it is coming. He didn't tell them exactly the time. They just knew it was coming. And we think about that as we're in this world today and living life as we know it today. There is coming judgment. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There is coming judgment. And many of us in this room know Jesus Christ as Savior. That is the most important decision you and I can make. But what we need to do then is pass that on. That's good enough for me, but it's good enough for my neighbor. It's good enough for the store clerk. It's good enough for my kids. There are people in our world, there are believers in our world that I've known. I want my kids to make their own decisions. And you know what? Our kids have to make their own decisions. My kids can't be saved because I'm saved. They can't be saved because I make them pray a prayer. But I sure am going to teach them the truth of the Word of God. They have to make a decision, yes. But I have to teach them, and I have to pass that on. And here, Noah was warning. In fact, we're reminded in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter real quick, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We see something that Noah is called. Yes, God told Noah of this coming judgment that would be life-altering. And we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And it's talking about some of the consequences and punishment going on in life. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. What is he called here? A preacher of righteousness, bringing in flood upon the world of the ungodly. Thus many believe that Noah didn't just preach to his own family, but to those around him. And to the people around him. And the opportunities, yes, we must teach our own children. That is why we bring them to church, right? That is why as a church family we take time for BLC and kids club, even in the summer, and Sunday school and children's church. That's why as individual families we must take time to teach the gospel, teach the word of God to our kids. But it's also good for others. Preacher of righteousness, oh, that would be us. Noah knew God's promised judgment was coming, that it would be life-altering. Adam and Eve knew that. In Genesis chapter 2, they were told not to eat of the fruit. And because in the day they would surely what? That's life-altering. Their life as they knew it would be no more. And when we see in Genesis 3 verse 4, they chose to eat anyway. And their eyes were what? Opened. They understood things that they didn't understand. It was interesting. We were talking about that the other day. Karen was mentioning some things to our kids. You just have to trust that that's sin. You don't need to understand that right now. It's not for you. It's not best for you to understand. You just have to know and believe that it's sin. And sometimes in life, we don't understand, well, why is that sin? Well, if God says it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not. And so that's what we want to teach and pass on to that next generation. That's what Noah was passing on. God said, judgment is coming. I'm preparing. You're preparing. And some even say that there were others that he hired to help prepare that still didn't believe what he was doing and didn't believe that his God was real. But this consequence was life-altering. Why was judgment coming? Because life was lived in disobedience to God. We saw in this passage, verse 13, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them. Life-altering consequences because of sin. Adam and Eve experienced that when they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Their sin, their disobedience brought about consequences. And we see, even in here with Noah and his people, it was for all people. All of the earth. What if his kids chose not to get on the ark? Would they still have been saved? Yes or no? No, because everything with breath that was not in the ark was killed by the flood, drowned. And so we see the reality of that. But in our life, in our world today, we know that Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not how many? Not even one. We know that Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that all includes our children. One of our desires as we discipline our kids is to teach them they're not just sinning against us, and that's why we have to discipline them, but they are sinning against God. That's why Jesus had to come. Teaching them that Jesus came because of that sin you're doing right now that I'm having to discipline you for. teaching our children that they are accountable before God, that all means them, not just enough someday to choose. We have some missionaries that we know in Romania. And many of the Romanian Baptists, not these missionaries, but many of the what you would call Romanian Baptists that are over there, believe you can't be saved and really know you're saved until you're at least 12. Well, I disagree with that. Every child has to come to that own age of understanding. We get that. But judgment is coming for all. And man, teach your kids from a young age. Not just the judgment of God, but yes, Noah knew the promise of God's coming judgment, but he also knew the promise of God's salvation. And that's how we pass that on to that next generation. Jesus saves! Jesus saves! You have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Near and far, why we support missions, why we have tracts that we encourage you to hand out, why we are burdened for those around us that we talk with. We were traveling last night and we had stopped at a rest area and we got out and we got everybody back in, and I was the last one to get in the vehicle, and there was an older couple that had just parked, and she said something about our family, and so I talked a little bit. And Josiah didn't hear any of this, but he asked me when I got back in, did you get to give her a track, Dan? But you know, it was neat. I did talk with her. And her husband were from Ann Arbor area, but we got to talk about Jesus saves, and that's what it's all about. Because you know what? We want, yes, our kids, but we want our kids to know that it's for everybody else too. As Noah was teaching his kids that there is coming judgment, he was teaching them that there's coming salvation. It's one here on this instance, it was through the ark. But the salvation that we want our kids, we want the world around us to know, is it's only through Jesus. It's not by coming to Jeruel Baptist Church. It's not by going to the right denomination. It's by knowing Jesus saves. That's how we pass that on. That's how, as Joshua and the children of Israel, yes, we'll see the ministers, the Levites, were scattered among the children of Israel, but the parents didn't pass that on to the next generation. It wasn't simply the Levites' responsibility. In fact, as we'll see, yes, the Levites were taken care of by the tithes of the children of Israel, and so it was their responsibility. But as the nation of Israel went on, there were times that they weren't taken care of very well because the people forgot God and they didn't give of their tithes. And that the Levites had to then go do other work to take care of themselves and their families. It wasn't the Levites' responsibility to make sure the kids knew God. They had a role in that. But God gave that role to us as parents. And we see that even with the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6. That we teach our children the word of the Lord. In fact, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We may look at this a little bit next week as we look at Joshua 21. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And there's this whole chapter is just incredible. You look at these previous verses about God and the mighty God that they had. But verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So it starts in the heart. That's why we don't have religion. And when people ask me, what religion are you? I'm not a religion. And I'm not of religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we teach that with our kids, it's not just we go to church because that's what we do. We go to church because it's time. We go to church because we have a relationship with the God, the creator of this universe. He says in verse 6, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Who? The Levites? The parents were responsible to do that teaching. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." You know, there are all sorts of opportunities that we can pass on to the next generation. one of those things, even as a church family that we did with VBS, we had that creature feature, which is an incredible opportunity to, again, teach that God has created even these incredible looking animals. Or an Arctic hare can run 40 miles per hour. That didn't happen by evolution. That happened by God. But then as we travel around our house from room to room, as we do different things as a family, seeing that we can teach our kids in those things, passing that on. He says, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest, by the way, as we go about, our kids see sin, don't they? They're not blinded to this world. And sometimes they have questions. And sometimes in our world, we do think, man, our kids are exposed at certain sins at way too young of an age. And I agree. But as they see it, we point out what it is and that God is love and teach them the importance of knowing God. When thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And we know that then we look ahead years and years later, and some of these things just became symbolisms that they would follow. But the word of God isn't just some symbolic thing that we need to tie about our head and keep close to us and put on our doorpost. The point of it is that we know God and he's a constant factor in our life, and that we teach that with our kids and we pass that on to that generation. And we can continue reading, and we won't do that right now, but if you continue reading through this passage, seeing the responsibility of the parents to pass on to the next generation their faith. That's what Noah, even with his adult children, has to do. He's teaching them. He's a preacher of righteousness around where he is. God has a promise coming of judgment, but he also has a promise of salvation. Here it was possible through the ark. Why? Because God is merciful. As much as he saw the violence and the wickedness, he loved his creation. Aren't you thankful? He loves us. We don't deserve that love. Romans reminds us in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, I'm thankful. He is a merciful God. To who? To those who come to God his way. Hebrews 11, as we looked at Hebrews 11:7, and when it talked about Noah, talks about coming to God by faith. That's how we must come to God. That's how our children must come to God. It's not just coming to church. It's coming to God by faith. As a church family, that's our desire. As we impact our kids, as we send them to Sunday school, and as we preach, and as even on the Sunday evenings when the kids come down front and we try to do some of the things on the kids' level so that they can grasp some of the things during the preaching of the service. But as parents, we have a responsibility to pass that on. The promise of God's salvation. Noah's family was saved. Look at chapter 7 of Genesis, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He was the preacher of righteousness. But he wasn't saved because he was a good man. He was saved by faith in God. So we see God's promise of judgment. We see God's promise of salvation. But we see if I'm going to trust God, obey, and pass this on to the next generation, I have a responsibility of putting faith into action. Putting my faith into action. How was Noah to obey in faith? We know throughout the Bible, specifically it's said 4 different times, the just shall live by faith. But we see that throughout the Word of God. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. I have read it to you, and we've looked at it. I want us to look there specifically in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is what? To please him. Coming to church doesn't please God in and of itself. Coming to church is a godly thing, but it doesn't make you godly. The priority of the local church is taught clearly in the New Testament, but that doesn't make you righteous. Giving to God and His work is clearly taught throughout the Bible. But that doesn't make us righteous. Praying to God is taught, but that doesn't make us righteous. Here it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Believe that God is God. Believe the truth about God. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not believing that God is some other God. There are so many different gods. In fact, as we read in Judges chapter 2, the children of Israel forsook the Lord and served Balaam, the next generation. It's not just that they kind of didn't walk with God as adult kids anymore. And sadly, we've seen that. And as parents, one, we can be thankful that it's not our responsibility how our adult kids live. We teach, we invest, but they have that choice. As we look at this, we pass it on. It says again in verse 6 that believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Even the psalmist said in Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. So we see all of that. And then verse 7, by what? Faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is, once again, by faith. Not by earning it. Not by merit. Not by any good that outweighs my bad. My responsibility of putting faith into action. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 once again says we're saved by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But why are we saved? Because we are His workmanship. We're saved unto good works. We see that in Noah's life. He's putting his faith into action. James talks about that in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. It's not just some verbal assent, I believe. That's why it's our desire not that someone simply prays a prayer of salvation, but they understand what it is from the heart. Because once again, saying words doesn't make someone saved. And as parents, as we pass that on to our kids, it's not just making sure our kids say the prayer growing up, but they understand from the heart. I remember one of our girls, she had a prayer request in children's church a number of years ago. Would you pray for me? My parents won't let me get saved. Now the reality is we weren't stopping her from getting saved. But we were trying to make sure she truly understood from her heart what it was. And you know what? She was ready. She understood it. She was 3. And that just, I mean, for me as a 3-year-old to understand grasping that truth. And so we just wanted to be so cautious that she understood. And what she looks back to that day. Today. She's convinced she got saved then. And what a blessing. And as we pass it on, it's got to be that faith that's passed on. Noah, by faith. And that's what life is. Putting our faith into action. Passing that on to the next generation. Yes, of our family. But of those around us. The kids around us. Our peers around us. Life change. Yes, the coming judgment was life-altering. But you know the salvation is life-altering. Putting my faith into action. We see, if we follow through all of Genesis 6, we see the specifics given for the ark. And that he was, as he obeyed in faith, not by sight. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Noah, he didn't understand all that he was doing. Did he ever build a boat before? Did he have this knowledge that, hey, this flood is coming and we're going to float in this thing? He knew some of it, but he didn't see it. It says in Hebrews, not yet seen. So he had to live by faith. He had to obey in fear, it said. In fear, in that reverence, in circumspect, he was thinking about it. It wasn't just something he just did out of rote religion. but in fear, trusting, and reverence of God. He had to obey in everything. In fact, look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Once again, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. He had to obey in everything. And as we often like to teach our kids, obedience is all the way, right away, and with a happy heart. If you go clean your room and you don't finish, that's not obeying. If you go clean your room in an hour and a half, that's not obeying. If you go clean your room and stop and talk and but you get all the way clean, that's not obeying. But now let's look at it as adults. Just like Noah had to go obey all the way, he had to do the ark. God gave him specifics. He had to prepare for these animals. He had to prepare the food that God told him to bring. He had to obey all the way. He had to obey right away. It took him years to get this ark built. What if he would have just waited and said, someday we'll get to that? And even his heart, as we see Hebrews 11, again, his fear, he obeyed in fear with a right attitude. As we serve God, as we live our life of faith, that we would obey all the way, right away, and with a happy heart. But that we would pass that on to the next generation. Because without passing that on to the next generation, Jeruel Baptist Church will die. We've sadly seen that in so many churches. Just a few older couples left, and they're just going. I've seen some where then the pastors died, and what do? We sell the building and go do something. Because they didn't pass it on. Granted, every individual who we pass it on to has a what? Choice. But let's make sure we're passing it on. Trusting and obeying. So before you can do that, you've got to be saved. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm telling you, judgment is coming. But I'm also telling you, salvation is freely given through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, would you acknowledge your need of Him to save you from the consequences of your sin today? In a couple moments, we'll give you an opportunity for that. Maybe you're here and you say, I know I'm saved. Are you putting your faith into action? Are you passing that on to that next generation? That might mean some of your peers around you that are in the same generation as you, so that they can pass it on to their next generation behind them. Aren't you thankful people that are senior citizens can get saved? That might mean us passing that on to people that are in younger generations than us that maybe we work with or that we are acquaintances with. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Don't forget your own kids. Even if they're grown and out of the house, love them, invest in them spiritually. And if you've got kids at home, you've got a great opportunity to pass that on to the next generation. Father, we thank you for your love.